If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Once again, AUT, Mr. Adam Tiger Bomb. Adam, how are we doing today?
Matt, I am extra excited for today's show, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm good. Yeah, we're going to be doing another one of these series showdowns, I think I still want to call it, where we just kind of compare games that came out around the same time. This isn't necessarily a which game is better. Last time we did SmackDown 2 versus No Mercy, and there, I think there was kind of a winner in that one, just because I think just one game is clearly better than the other. But in this case, I think you could really go either way. There's, I think a lot of fans would lean one way. Me, I think I kind of lead another way. And we're going to be looking at Dino Crisis and Resident Evil 3.
Released
just, you know, like 2 months
apart.
Months apart. Capcom had kind of split their unit up a lot. They were developing, you know, they were working on all 3 games at once, actually.
Yeah, there was a lot going on at that time.
they were working on Resident Evil 3, Dino Crisis, and Resident Evil Code Veronica.
That's right. Yeah.
All kind of at the same time. But we're just going to take a look at Dino Crisis and Resident Evil 3. Both games on the PlayStation. I think Resident Evil 3 got a port. I know it got a port to the GameCube. It did also get a port to the Dreamcast as well.
It did.
So, So I think we're going to kind of look at some things here, like graphics, gameplay, music, design choices that the different teams made. You know how that functions in gameplay.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and we'll start with Dino Crisis because it came out first. Came out July 1st, which is my birthday, 1999. I unfortunately did not get Dino Crisis for my birthday.
I'm sure I got
a game. I don't remember what game it was, but it was not Dino Crisis because I don't think I asked for it. But Dino Crisis anyway. Survival horror game, made by Capcom. It definitely has that Resident Evil feel. A lot of people just call this Resident Evil with dinosaurs.
Yeah, definitely. And it's. I mean, I think. To anyone listening to this, I mean, you have to understand one of the main reasons that, you know, we thought this would be such a great idea was, I mean, not only did Capcom put out both of these games, but both of these games were because of the mastermind himself, Shinji Mikami. Like, mm-hmm. all of these were his ideas. And, yeah, Resident Evil Dinosaurs is, like, the best way to put it. And, if you didn't think you wanted it, well, I knew I wanted it. I saw those TV spots for it. I mean, I was a big dinosaur kid growing up, and I was really getting into survival horror pretty heavy at that time. So to see a horror game featuring dinosaurs, it was just like, sign me up. I didn't get it as it was released, but I rented it like religiously from Blockbuster back in the day.
Yeah, I actually played Dino Crisis 2 first.
Really?
Yeah, and then had gone back and played Dino Crisis 1. Dino Crisis 1 later. And that one's kind of weird about, you know, if you want to think about that, which game is better there? I don't know. I think you could make an argument. I think you could really just go either way, just depending on which one you like.
See, that's interesting because, yeah, I guess you could just go either way because I really enjoyed both games a lot.
Yeah.
It's just... Mm-hmm. You have to – it's crazy because Dino Crisis 2, you know, yeah, sure, it's a direct sequel, but it is very, very different.
Very
in
different.
In terms of atmosphere, mm-hmm. as to opposed to the first Dino Crisis.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing about this, and as we could kind of compare this to Resident Evil, is you would assume Dino Crisis would actually be the more action-oriented game. Right, because Resident Evil had always been kind of, you know, you have your tank controls,
right.
which you have in this game,
right?
You have your tank controls and things like that. But if you read like the cover art and stuff like that, it makes it seem like it's really going to be more of an action game. That's not really the case. I would actually almost argue that Resident Evil 3 is more of an action y game. It's still a survival horror, but you know, we'll get to it. But
I agree. I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Only Resident Evil 3 of those original ones, just because of the way we'll get to Nemesis and the timing and how it feels like one long chase scene.
Yeah.
So Dino Crisis. You know, you are at a research facility.
That's right.
Yeah. You're at a research facility. You're playing Regina. We don't really have Regina. We don't have a last name, but
just Regina.
Yeah, Regina. She reminds me a lot of I can't remember her name, but the girl from not Parasite Eve, but I'm blanking, totally blank. Perfect Dark. She looks a lot to me like the girl from Perfect Dark.
I'm not that familiar with Perfect Dark actually, so I wouldn't know. But okay.
Who is Joanna Dark? Yeah. She just, to me, she look up a picture of Joanna Dark, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I mean, they look almost like identical, to be honest. But yeah, so anyway, so you're Regina. You get sent to this research facility. You learn Dr. Edward Kirk, who's like this scientist. He was reported dead. Is kind of running. You know, and you're going to go investigate. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, shit, there's dinosaurs everywhere. Right. So the game plays very much like a Resident Evil game. But the biggest difference is with Resident Evil, it always feels like you're really only in trouble when, you know, early on in the games, you're in trouble if you come across one zombie. But later it's more when it's kind of like strength in numbers. Is when you're really in trouble. Whereas with Dino Crisis, every time you come across a dinosaur, it's, you know, like, oh crap. Like,
right.
You got to take care of this. And they do some interesting stuff with the camera with this game, where the camera is still kind of fixed, but it will move a little bit. And it creates you get a lot of those kind of hallway corridor scenes where you're running towards the screen. The dinosaur is like chasing after you. And it just kind of adds to that element. You know, I mean, it's totally like what a Jurassic Park game should be. And that's how it plays.
It's a good comparison. Yeah, it's interesting because, it has your traditional gameplay like almost any Resident Evil game. And it has puzzles. And they're kind of done in that same fashion as well as Resident Evil. But, you know, it's just a different setting, so they have their own unique aesthetics to them. You know, while you could, in any Resident Evil game, you could arguably, like, see a comparison with some of their puzzles as mm-hmm. the games went on. But, it's interesting in a sense to see, like, you know, you turn a corner, the angle changes. Again, just like in a Resident Evil game. But yeah, there is that difference where in this sense, you run down a hallway. It's not, you're not just watching your character run down the hallway as you move them. You're moving with them, mm-hmm. with the camera. So that's already an interesting thing to take note of. There's kind of a difference. They decided to add the character actually opening the door when you mm-hmm. go through doors. As opposed to Resident Evil, it's just the door opens and you go through it.
Right.
So that's a very interesting aesthetic to mm-hmm. add to it as well. But the one thing I want to add to that is the main difference that you could already see with Resident Evil and Dino Crisis is the fact that Dino Crisis does not have pre-rendered backgrounds
right.
like Resident Evil did. Resident Evil 3 still utilized the pre-rendered backgrounds. And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. That's because of Code Veronica, actually. I'll get more into it when we talk about Resident Evil, actually. But
there's another reason too, and I'm in a way I'm kind of glad they did And we'll get to that when we get to Resident Evil, but go ahead.
So Dino Crisis was the first survival horror game in this aspect where Shinji Mikami had his team utilize completely 3D rendered backgrounds, also in real time as well. Mm-hmm. And you definitely see it's in real time when you go to pick up certain items because the items move. They spin, you know? Mm-hmm. They're not like just sitting there in a fixed position for you to pick up like in former Resident Evil games and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that adds to the real time again is the camera moving with your character after you turn an angle and everything like that. Let's see here. But I mean, you had to keep that because at the time, that's just what Capcom was known for. That's what they were big on. And it mm-hmm. really helps enhance that sense of unknown mm-hmm. around every corner. Now, another big difference here is, again, you're not dealing with zombies here. You're not dealing with undead. You're dealing with dinosaurs. And it's kind of just like, well, how do you mimic dinosaur behavior for a video game? You know, it's kind of like that sense where it's like, how do paleontologists understand dinosaur behavior? To be honest, that's not what they tried to do with this. Instead, the development team examined actual predators of today, mainly like lions and felines and stuff like that. And they studied their movement and their behavior, and they kind of like design the AI to act that way, to like, because those are animals that aren't afraid to go after prey, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's definitely how it is in Dino Crisis. Raptors, which are kind of like your main enemy here in this game, they're never afraid to come after you, you know? Like, once they have their sights like asphyxiated on you, that's it. They're going to keep following you. And you could definitely see in the way they pounce at you and everything. It is almost like, wow, they must have mimicked that after a cat ability. It's not something I would have thought of immediately, to be honest. But when you look into the development of the game and you reflect on that, you could definitely see what the team was doing. It's much more advanced than just think of a zombie. A zombie is just aimless, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that kind of behavior is easy to capture because you can just take any guy, throw him in a capture suit, and just be like, just walk limp, basically. You know what I mean? You can't do that with a human and be like, act like a dinosaur. You're not going to get that same effect, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of other design choices we can get to. I think I want to go ahead and let's jump over and do kind of an initial sure. kind of talk about Resident Evil, and then we can kind of go back and forth into some of the design choices they had. Because Dino yeah. Crisis definitely kind of does some things that the Resident Evil series didn't do, and some I think work well for it, some don't. So Resident Evil 3, which, you know, is obviously the third entry into the Resident Evil series, continues. It's more, I don't want to say more of the same in a bad way, because it's still great. Still a great game. This time you're Jill Valentine, and Resident Evil 3 takes place kind of before, during, and a little bit after. It's taking place roughly the same time as the events of Resident Evil 2.
Right.
You had said in our Resident Evil breakdown, there's actually some Easter eggs in Resident Evil 2 that you can kind of see. So once you played 3, you're like, oh, and you can actually go, if you go back and play 2, you kind of see them. What's the guy you can, if you race?
Brad.
To... Right, yeah.
Because, you know, in Resident Evil 2, if you get through the whole beginning up to the police station without picking up any items, you fight Brad at the police station. Brad dies in Resident Evil 3, and you see that happen to him. And Brad dies at the police station when you get there as Jill. So you see that. And in Resident Evil 2, there is a computer console that has a passcode, and the passcode is Nemesis in the Umbrella Laboratory. So it all points signs to 3, and it's also in Resident Evil 3, not to get too ahead of myself here, in Resident Evil 3, when you get to the police station, a lot of it is heavily barricaded. In Resident Evil 2, it's not. The barricades have already been brought down because Jill, Nemesis, arguably the Umbrella mercenaries, were all there before Leon got there, or Claire, for that matter.
Yeah. So that's definitely a difference between Resident Evil 2 and 3 is that Resident Evil 3 is one character. Right. I mean, really. I mean, it's really a one character story.
To a degree. I mean, like, it's a one character story. That's the best way to put it. I was kind of taking into consideration you do get to play as Carlos for like a little bit, but it's really doing nothing for that character. This is Jill's story. It's not split down between two people. You're not going through multiple scenarios. You're getting one whole package here, basically, straight on out. Its interactions with environments and everything is somewhat the same as Resident Evil Director's Cut, Resident Evil 2. It's still using the pre-rendered backgrounds.
Right. So, by the way, one of the reasons I like the pre-rendered backgrounds in Resident Evil 3 is that because Resident Evil 3 has that kind of those ties to Resident Evil 2 and it's taking place in the same place. I mean, from a development standpoint, it's probably really easy because you're using already rendered materials. because then it looks the same as Resident Evil 2, right?
Right.
So I like that.
Yeah, you're definitely taking continuity into... You're definitely like making sure everything adds up, basically. And I mean, another reason they definitely did that, though, if you ask me, is, you know, we brought up earlier at the time of the development of this game in Dino Crisis, they were already working on Code Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Code Veronica, like Dino Crisis, is completely 3D rendered. Code Veronica, I think, might arguably be the first fully 3D rendered Resident Evil. So I guess Capcom did not want to wait to put out another Resident Evil title till the PS2, originally Code Veronica came out on the Dreamcast.
Right.
But they did not want to wait that long to put another Resident Evil title out. So I guess to get it done quicker was, let's deal with the engine we've already got and mm-hmm. use, again, the pre-rendered backgrounds, basically. But there are subtle enhancements, though. There are a bit more 3D interactive parts of the environment that you can work with. You could kind of see they're developing that into, but 3 kind of took an extra leap with it. And like what I mean by that is, take, for example, Resident Evil 2, when you meet the crocodile for the first time. You have to find the little gas tank to knock over so it swallows it and you can shoot it in the crocodile's mouth. But Resident Evil 3 basically takes that and does it with more items, so to speak. There's lots of more explosive barrels in environments to just blow up hordes of zombies,
mm-hmm.
which I think in that aspect adds a real action element to the game.
Right.
Even though it's a survival horror game, there's that to really take into account. Cause it's not just one part where you do that in. There's several parts of that game where mm-hmm. you could just make things explode all around you. So it's kind of like they took that one thing from Resident Evil 2 and jacked it up on steroids for Resident Evil 3. So the fact that they were able to work that in was pretty cool and an advancement in itself.
Yeah. You know, Resident Evil 3, I said Resident Evil 3 to me is one kind of big, I don't want to say gimmick or thing, which is Nemesis, right? You know, the Nemesis, and that's who's always kind of chasing you, and he pops up from time to time. I like that it does give you options that you can kind of choose and say, want to run or you want to fight. And if you fight and beat him, you get kind of upgrades, for your weapon.
Right.
But because of that, it's funny, you know, it's like, again, if you looked at both these games, you know, you looked at just the backs of them, you would say Dino Crisis is the action game. Resident Evil is clearly going to be the kind of slow-paced survival horror game, but it's the total opposite, right?
It really is that
Resident Evil, to me, it feels like you're always on edge, right? It's kind of like, it's funny, you know, you don't, when I think about games like Alien Isolation, right, where the alien's always out there somewhere.
Oof, yeah.
And then you kind of forget, Resident Evil did it way back in the day, right? The Nemesis
right,
was always
there. For sure. it's interesting to think about because Resident Evil Nemesis is kind of the first Resident Evil to have that where, yeah, you're kind of not safe unless you're in a safe room where, you know, zombies and other enemies can't go through doors and chase after you. But if you decide to fight Nemesis and you're kind of like running away from him, he's not going to stop until you take a stand, really, actually. But again, that's if you decide to fight him, or there are those certain parts in the game where he'll kind of come out on surprise. Like, you're coming down the stairs in the police station, he comes flying through the window, and that's for the first time where he shows up with the rocket launcher, actually. So, if that happens again, you kind of have to make a stand at those points, and it's just like, you could run into another room, but that's not going to help you, because he's... Because with the way it works is they couldn't – I don't know what the limitations were on the PlayStation at that time. But they couldn't do it in a sense where you go through the door and it's like he comes right in behind you. It doesn't happen till the angle changes, like when you come around a corner or something. So they never edited in an actual animation of him coming through, but he'd like – But he's come in, though. He's come into that room with you, though. And they let it be known because he yells out stars. Right. And the music starts playing and stuff like that. So there's that. It's interesting, too, because Resident Evil 2, in a sense, they didn't do that. But they kind of create that illusion with Mr. X. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, if... Mr. X pursues you in scenario B, and he doesn't, like, chase you, but with the way they fleshed that whole scenario out, it's like he's pursuing you throughout the whole scenario, and it was freaky. It really, really was. But Resident Evil, I guess when they were developing Resident Evil 3, well, how can we take that and make it seem like more instantaneous, I guess, in a sense? That's really just me saying that, and they accomplished that. That was, I don't know, you never really face something like that in a survival horror game to a degree, but there is that exception. If you want to go back to Dino Crisis really quick, the Raptors in Dino Crisis, another thing that separates them from your average like zombie. Like your average foot soldier in a survival horror game is, the Raptors can chase you room to room. Actually, that was another advanced thing they were doing with like the Raptors were to be seen as your ordinary enemies in a sense, just like as a zombie was. And as you progress through the game, you start seeing more complex, more advanced dinosaurs. Like there was Xenosaur, Pterodactyls. You have your several run-ins with the T-Rex, and the Compies, which I think had the ability to travel through ventilation systems and meet you on other parts of the maps. That's one thing that Resident Evil Dino Crisis both did the same, actually. They had the same kind of like map format, in a sense. But Dino Crisis... What Dino Crisis did by creating... An AI system where the dinosaurs can chase you from room to room. Not only can they do that, raptors can knock your gun out of your hand, actually. Mm-hmm. And it goes flying across whatever room you're in. This all creates a real sense
of urgency.
It's very visceral with the music that they play. And it creates a real sense of panic as well. And then they do that thing where it's like the dinosaur can knock the weapon out of your hand, and sometimes it might pin you, and all of a sudden danger starts flashing on the screen.
Right.
And you have to realize at that point, because it doesn't hold your hand in this sense. You don't know what to do, but like in any situation in games like that, you start pressing your buttons rapidly, right? That is what you actually have to do, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. And it helps your character fight them off, And yeah, it's kind of like they really put more time and effort in advancing the AI in Dino Crisis, more so than Resident Evil 3. That's not to say they didn't do that in Resident Evil 3. Of course they did with the introduction to Nemesis. But they were like really saving the good stuff for the development of Dino Crisis, though. It kind of feels like, in a sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely some things in Dino Crisis that they do, you know, that where I would say they almost cut corners a little bit, where the Resident Evil series did better, like save rooms, for example, right? Like, yes. I don't know how I feel about it. In Resident Evil, you can put things in a save room and then you can pick them up at any save room, whereas in Dino Crisis you can't, right?
Like, right.
They're tied. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a very different system. It's like your save room is like, it's not a save room. It's kind of like there are certain rooms where you're leaving and it's like, do you want to save your game? And it's like, okay, you can save your game then. And somewhere around those rooms that you left, there will be emergency boxes. But the thing is, you can't just access these boxes, though. They decided to make it more complex where it's like, you need a plug to open these boxes. And then you can use it. But you could find, there's three colored boxes. There's yellow. Where is it? I have it. Here we go.
I think it's red, green, and yellow.
Red, green, and yellow. That's what it is. And each one requires its respected plug. And some might have certain specialty items depending on the color. But if you find the same colored box in a different room, you still need another plug. But what kind of saves themselves is when you can access that other box, you can access the items that you'd already put in another box of the same color earlier on in the game, though. But the fact that you're hunting for plugs makes it more of an inconvenience, in a sense, where Resident Evil 3, or any Resident Evil for that matter, didn't do that. You found the save room, you had your item box, that was it. It was much more simplified, and that makes it more accessible, I would say. Like, if you've never played a survival horror game before, and you decided to start with Dino Crisis, I would say that would probably make it very frustrating for a new player trying to get into that kind of game, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and some other things Dino Crisis does I want to point out is so Dino Crisis with its level design, right? So we talked about how, you know, there's a difference in how they're kind of animated. I do feel that Resident Evil, you know, even though it has the pre-rendered backgrounds, you're in a city, right? And the city it's laid out really well. Like, it definitely feels like there's interesting set pieces.
Yes.
Whereas Dino Crisis, you're in kind of a bland research facility. Like, everything kind of looks the same. And while it does have a lot of realism, like, your puzzles are pretty much related to go find this key card so you can get security clearance. Whereas in Resident Evil, you have the very traditional Resident Evil puzzles. There's a lot of varying ones. There's obviously the water sample one and this one, which we talked about before.
Oh, and, yes, we have.
It's kind of annoying. But one of the cool things I like in Dino Crisis is the laser grid system, right? So you can quickly hit those lasers to kind of block off the raptors from chasing you any further.
Right. Yeah, that was a very cool mechanic to add. And I like in the sense that, okay, yeah, you're right. A lot of the environments in Dino Crisis are kind of bland, but what is cool about it is it did have its own identity. Mm-hmm. You know, Resident Evil, you know, it's like you're running through a very ordinary city, so to speak, you know? And, you know, there's apartment buildings and stuff like that, and, like, corner stores, rundown bars and everything. But Dino Crisis has this whole kind of futuristic take to it, in a sense. But I think one thing that made the environment looked kind of bland to a degree was you watch the full CGI cutscenes, right? And it's like you see them coming onto this jungle setting island and stuff like that, and it's kind of like you're playing it, and it's like, well, where's the jungle? You know what I mean?
It's in Dino Crisis 2.
It is in Dino Crisis 2, exactly. And I think what it was at the time was they were just kind of like developing this 3D technology and putting it out on something like the PlayStation. I guess at first they didn't realize that they were going to have some limitations,
right?
Basically, which kind of forced them to make this whole industrial kind of setting, in a sense, which is what we got. And, I mean, I kind of don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, maybe some things could have looked a little bit flashier, but they fixed that in Dino Crisis 2, I think, though. Definitely. Let's see here. Another interesting thing that Dino Crisis did differently, which kind of makes me wonder why they didn't do this in Resident Evil, and I couldn't really figure it out, was I guess they wanted this to add to kind of like Dino Crisis' kind of like panic system it basically had going for it to separate the games. Again, I think it might be a whole like identity issue, basically. Your character can also lose blood over time and create a trail of blood, which actually also helps enhance dinosaurs chasing you, actually.
Right. And it helps add to that realism as well, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, you're losing health and you're running from dinosaurs.
Right.
And in most cases, in these survival horror games, we get to a crossroads where, oh, crap, I'm out of health items. You know what I mean? And it's like, what are you supposed to do when a raptor knocks your gun out of your hand? You're running down a hallway trying to go get it while you're losing blood. Meanwhile, it's just like you're gonna wanna scream. However, they did develop an item to help with that. You have to collect hemostats.
Mm-hmm.
Hemostats don't heal you, but they stop the bleeding. To heal you, like any Resident Evil game, you gotta find like a first aid kit or something, basically. So that was clever. That was something very, very different that the game did to separate itself from Resident Evil. But one more thing it did, which I think a main point to make here, is Dino Crisis, unlike the Resident Evil games, had more than one ending. It had three endings, actually. Because, well, I guess this is kind of where you could see the games in tandem. Resident Evil 3 gives you those choices where if you want to run from Nemesis or fight Nemesis. But Dino Crisis, I think it's like there are two key points in the game. Oh, excuse me. There are two key points in the game where you're left with the decision to go with Rick or go with Gale on certain parts of the story. And those determine the outcome of your ending. I know in my playthrough of Dino Crisis, I didn't get the best ending. I might have gotten the bad ending, actually, now that I think about it. Do you want me to say it, not say it?
No, go ahead. I think Regina lives in all the endings, though.
She does live in all of the endings.
Right.
She does. In my ending, I got the one where I think Kirk died. I think he, and I went with Gale to chase after Kirk at the end. And for the record, all the endings, yeah, Regina does live, and you're going to fight the T-Rex in all endings. So
right. That's
unavoidable. But Gale reveals to you the whole time that the whole mission was a front, and, you know, they were never interested in Kirk in the first place. They just wanted the Third Energy Project to weaponize it, basically.
Right.
So, you know, it's, and I guess to a degree, it's kind of got like that whole conspiracy thing, because Resident Evil 3 kind of does something similar, where, I mean, you're going to get the same ending no matter what, but you find out the guys Carlos is working with are also, like, conspiring, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not in it to save anybody or whatever. But I always thought that was interesting as well, to the fact that, Dino Crisis was this game that came out at the end of the 1990s. And before games like Fallout or Mass Effect or Fable, here was a game on the PS1 that was like, hey, your replay value just went through the roof because you could do this more than one way, basically.
Yeah, there's not a lot of games that have multiple endings, up into that time. With, you know, maybe the exception of, like, Chrono Trigger, which has, like, 30 endings. But, you know.
Does,
like,
it really?
Oh, yeah. Chrono Trigger has, like, 23 endings or something like that. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, but, you know, that's on the SNES. It's a lot easier to develop than, you know, it was for the PlayStation. But, so, I mean, both games are great. But, I highly, highly recommend people check out both games. Adam, which one do you think you like more?
Oh, Jesus, this is such a hard question. I think, honestly, I would have to say Dino Crisis. Because of how again, I think it's the point of how, while you can tell that, you know, yeah, this was definitely made by the guys that made Resident Evil. You could see that influence over the game. It didn't need to copy it in any way whatsoever, you know. I think both games sort of sold somewhat around the same copies upon their release. They were both critical successes, actually.
Yeah, they both had great reviews. The PlayStation version has sold 2.4 million copies, and that is Dino Crisis. And Resident Evil 3 probably sold more, just because it's a Resident
Evil. I think game. Resident Evil sold 3 million, actually.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But that's still kind of like a close number, you know? Like, they're not really, like, overshadowing each other. And for Dino Crisis, it was still enough of a success to spawn its sequel. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, actually, I really wanted to point out for Resident Evil 3 was... it had the most zombie variations for the first time, actually.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, the funny thing is, like, you think, like, oh, dinosaurs are new and cool, but really, a lot of the dinosaurs in Dino Crisis feel the same, whereas, actually, I feel like there is far more uniqueness in the zombies that you fight in Resident Evil 3.
Definitely. I would definitely agree with you like that. You know, like, you're seeing the same raptors you would see, and you're seeing the same copies, or you see a pterodactyl, you see a pterodactyl. But, you know, every single one of those enemies, again, is unique in its own way, in its behavior, and the way they come after you. But yeah, I really enjoyed that about Resident Evil 3, because in Resident Evil 2, it's just like, how many guys could I see wearing the same white t-shirt and the same black t-shirt over and over again, basically, at that point. So, I guess with what smaller budget they had to work with Resident Evil 3 as opposed to Code Veronica, they pulled it off very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, if you want to play these games today, I guess, you know, Resident Evil 3 has probably held up better, because there's Dreamcast versions of both, but there's also the GameCube version of Resident Evil 3. And I would probably go out on a limb and say Resident Evil 3 will probably get remade someday. I doubt Dino Crisis gets a remake. I would love it. I think that it should get remade. I think it would be a great game if they did, but I think we're, you know, years and years away from that, whereas we're probably much more likely to get a Resident Evil 3 remake at some point.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a safe assumption to make. Matt, what of the two would you say is your favorite?
What? Do I like? I would say Dino Crisis, and to me, there's a couple reasons. Again, with Resident Evil 3, I think that it's tough because Resident Evil 3 is put in a really bad position, and you and I talked about this when we did our Resident Evil breakdown of our favorite games. And I had Resident Evil 3 as my 10th game, not because it's bad, but because it's really in a bad position when it came out. You have Resident Evil 2, which is, you know, I think a better game. Resident Evil Code Veronica came out pretty shortly after. And then you've got Dino Crisis, which came out, you know, just before, all kind of in that same vein. Well, you know, the Resident Evil games are their own. And I think it's funny, you know, earlier we mentioned the fact that in Dino Crisis, you can see Regina, right, instead of just the doors opening, and something as small as that, whereas it still is that case in Resident Evil, but in Resident Evil 3, that never felt scary to me as it did in all of the other games. And so Resident Evil 3 just doesn't feel as like scary or terrifying to me. Like I said earlier, it feels kind of like a big chase scene, which is cool and it's different. But Dino Crisis to me just has more of that feel of a scary survival horror game. I like the fact that you can kind of like go up into the vents and you can kind of get across the maps quickly. So I think that that's great for replayability. It does have multiple endings. And I'm a big Jurassic Park guy. I love dinosaurs. So for me, that's kind of where I lean. I like Dino Crisis 2 more than I like Dino Crisis 1, but the Dino Crisis series unfortunately didn't really live on much longer because we don't even talk about the fact that there's, you know, another game in the series.
I like to forget that
game exists. Exactly.
Yeah, it seemed cool at first, but then it was like when I actually like sat down and played it, I was just like, dear God, I don't even know what I could say. Dino Crisis 2, it's like, I really loved Dino Crisis 2, but I like Dino Crisis 1 more because of the horror aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But Dino Crisis 2 wins on the case that it had more variety of dinosaurs. So that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Dino Crisis 2 also has a lot of weird minigame stuff, too. I think there's like a, isn't there like a fight?
They added like a weird
dino duel. Yeah, dino duel. Yeah, where you could pick two dinosaurs and have them kind of fight each other. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There's more characters and stuff like that. Just like, I mean, if you go from, look at Resident Evil to Resident Evil 2, big expansion. Dino Crisis, same thing there. So for me, when I think of Dino Crisis 1, I actually kind of think of both games, and so I think that kind of always aids me over Resident Evil 3. But I mean, Resident Evil 3 is obvious; they're both phenomenal. They're both phenomenal games. And again, yeah, like even though I brought it up, this isn't really a which game is better. It's just kind of a just look at the design choices, and I think that Dino Crisis in this kind of benefits as we'd said before that it was kind of. It feels new and fresh, whereas Resident Evil, you could tell, hey, like, let's just use a lot of the same assets, stuff like that. But it definitely it expands on what Resident Evil 2 was in terms of gameplay.
Yeah, and again, it's like this isn't to diminish Resident Evil 3, but again, it's like they really wanted to put out another Resident Evil title before Code Veronica because they weren't sure how long that was going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of just like, well, you know, if we use what we have for Resident Evil already, it will allow us to put another game out as quickly as possible.
Right.
They didn't want fans to wait that long.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, Resident Evil 3, I think also, what hurts it is that it's in... sometimes at least in my memory is that it's in a franchise with many great games. And so when I just think Dino, and I think this is the same for a lot of people, I'm sure we'll see in the comments section. I mean, hey, you know, comment, let us know what you think. But I think a lot of people will say the same thing is that when they think Dino Crisis, there's only really two games to go off of. And so you're going to be like, oh, man, I remember Dino Crisis. I had this great experience with it. Whereas Resident Evil 3, you're like, yeah, it's another great Resident Evil game. Whereas Dino Crisis is its own unique experience. So it's like it sticks out a little bit more.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, that was another good series showdown here. I'm sure we'll be doing more as we progress further. So, Adam, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, if you want to connect with me personally, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the same handle. That's Adam Tiger Bomb. I'm definitely very, very interactive on them both. I do a wrestling podcast with my friends Mario and Doc. That is Funk Masters of Wrestling. You can find that at FMOW_podcast on Twitter. And I do another gaming podcast that's on a bi-weekly schedule with my friend Ben. That's Game Jockeys Retro Pod, and you could find that on Twitter at Game Jockeys Pod.
All right. Well, you can find me right here on Box Trek. I also do a Game of Thrones podcast called Bend the Knee, and anywhere else on the internet at Super Games Bros. It's kind of my internet handle. And as always, guys, thanks for watching.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.